In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I walked over to Ben Taub Hospital last week to pray with someone and noticed the old cabin that sits in front of the hospital. Well, I've since looked online to learn more about it, so I know that what I'm about to say could never have happened because the cabin wasn't built until 1936. But before I found that out, I imagined a pioneer family living in the late 1800s, surrounded only by the prairie. And I wondered what they would have thought if they could have looked out their back window and seen the future and the world's largest medical center sprawled out in their own backyard. They probably would not have been able to take it in or understand exactly what they were seeing. Jesus is to Martha and Mary what that medical center would be to a 19th century pioneer. Something, someone beyond comprehension. I imagined trying to explain CAT scans and laser surgery and bone marrow transplants, things I barely understand, to someone who still lived in a world lit only by candlelight and oil lamps. That's a bit like Jesus trying to get Martha and Mary to understand what he's about to do and what it means. When Jesus arrives in Bethany, he learns that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Martha runs out to meet Jesus and cries, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. If only you had been here, he might have made it. If only." Martha is thinking only about the past of what might have been. But Jesus points her to the future, what will be. Your brother will rise again. But Martha isn't really listening. What she hears is probably what she's been hearing from the Jews who've walked over from Jerusalem to comfort her. At this time in history, most Jews believed in the vision of resurrection found in Isaiah, which promises a new heaven and a new earth, where God's people from throughout the ages will be given new bodies to enjoy life in a new creation. So she interrupts Jesus to say, "I know. He will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." I imagine she said it with that same flat tone people use when repeating the old piety, "I know, he's in a better place." Then Jesus takes her to the window and invites her to see that the future is right there in her own backyard, right before her eyes. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if he dies, will come to life. And everyone who is alive and believes in me shall never die at all." Jesus isn't just pointing Martha towards the future. He's asking her to see that the future has been brought forward, that it's standing right in front of her, that the new creation is present. He's inviting her to see that the resurrection isn't just a fact that lies somewhere in the future. It's not just a doctrine. It's a person. Jesus is inviting Martha to look out a window into a new reality. Does she see it? We're left in suspense as she runs to get Mary, who's been sitting quietly in the house. Mary runs out to see Jesus, and the Jews follow her. And she falls at Jesus' feet and cries, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would never have died." When Jesus sees her tears and the tears of the Jews, he's moved at the deepest level. And Jesus himself begins to cry. But is it grief he's feeling? After all, he knows Lazarus is going to live. Commentators differ on what this emotion is that Jesus feels. Some say he's angry that Martha and Mary haven't expressed greater faith. Others suggest he's angry at death. Others that he's feeling a simple human compassion. But if Jesus is God with us, his tears mean all of this and more. Yes, as a human being, he could be frustrated that Martha and Mary aren't getting his drift, or just sad to see them suffer. As the Son of God, he's caught up in the cosmic struggle with evil, a struggle he will revisit in spades in the Garden of Gethsemane. But as Emmanuel, God with us, his tears tell us something remarkable. God weeps with us. God weeps for us. Death and the impact it has on us brings God to tears. I still vividly remember the prayer I prayed the evening of my father's death. I was 13 years old, and although I'd been to church a fair amount, God wasn't real to me yet. So with a cold anger, I said, "Well, God, I guess I should pray now, but I don't feel like it." And I threw myself on the bed and cried my eyes out. It never occurred to me that God was right there with me, sharing my sorrow. Jesus wept with frustration, anger, longing, sorrow, with every emotion that wrings the human breast, and then he acted. He went to the tomb and ordered, "Take away the stone." Martha objected, afraid Lazarus's body would be decomposing and giving off a terrible odor after 4 days. But Jesus persisted, and the stone was rolled away. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you because you have heard me." N.T. Wright, the New Testament scholar, speculates that Jesus said this after the stone was rolled away and he didn't smell anything. At that moment, he realized his prayers for Lazarus, which he had probably started praying days earlier when he first learned Lazarus had fallen ill, he realized his prayers had been heard. Finally, Jesus shouted in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And when Lazarus emerged, still wrapped in his burial shroud, Jesus said, "Untie him and let him go." In John's gospel, there are 7 miracles that the author refers to as signs. A sign, especially a sign by the side of the road, lets us know what's coming. Yield, merge, speed limit. A sign lets us know what to expect. It tells us, get ready, pay attention, action is going to be required. The signs of Jesus in the Gospel of John tell us of a new reality, a new creation breaking into the old. That new creation began in Jesus and has continued to spread. It's God's gift to all people of all time. And we can see the signs all around us. If we look out that back window with faith, we'll see them. Jesus healing people near and far. Jesus feeding the hungry. Jesus in us, expressing his power through compassionate service to others. When my imaginary pioneer looks out her back window, she sees a world she can't comprehend, but one that is real nonetheless. There are many things we can't comprehend about all that God accomplished through Jesus and how God continues to work in and through us. I invite you this week, this last week before Holy Week begins, to look for signs of God at work. Where is God showing you? Get ready. Pay attention. Action is required. Where is God working in you? What does God want to do through you? Amen.